John Minto has been on our program many times. John, among other things, is the National Chair of Palestine Solidarity Network, Aotearoa. We're going to talk about an issue that sees a very prominent visitor coming to Aotearoa to talk about the realities. It's still going on, those in the Gaza Strip are just under immense pressure and have been for so long. And we have discussed before about the correlation between Māori rights for self-determination and those Palestinian people who call Gaza home. We'll touch on that in a moment. But you may be familiar that John Minto's had a long anti-racism involvement as the head of Halt All Racist Tours back in the day. And I've asked the John, if you might just comment too, because today is the anniversary of the HMNZS Otago sailing for the Mururoa Test Zone on this day of 1973. I was 13, so sort of familiar with it. Norman Kirk was the Prime Minister at that time. And John Minto, I don't know how old you would have been, John, but maybe you can let us know. Tēnā koe, tūkana, kia ora.
Kia ora, Dale. Thanks very much for the chance to talk with you and the listeners. I was at university, so I was about 19, 20 or so, and I just remember feeling really proud that New Zealand was, we were sending a boat, an official government sort of one of our frigates, right into the French nuclear testing zone, and I thought that was. Yeah, it was one of those things that really made you feel proud to be a New Zealander. I remember that quite distinctly.
Well, we're still committed in that way. Our anti-nuclear stance as a nation was developed around that time. But like you, it was pretty rare. France was something of a they're a bit bolshy, weren't they? In this part of the world anyway, testing nuclear weaponry, but. To get, as you say, an official New Zealand Defence Force response, we'd had plenty of Greenpeace and people who had gone up to challenge. You would have known a lot of those people too in your life, eh? Those the early ones.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember the people who were involved. Yeah, the early Greenpeace people. Bunny McDiamond. I hope I've got that name right. But yeah, people like that. And I remember that it was like they had various Greenpeace boats were going out into the Pacific to not just Greenpeace, but almost like a mini peace squadron. There were several boats that went out to protest, but then the government, our government officially got involved, and there was a very, very strong feeling in New Zealand against those tests. Otherwise, the government wouldn't have sent the frigate, but. And the French said, "Oh, the tests are fine; they're safe." And we said, "Well, if those tests are safe, then do them in Paris. Don't do them in our backyard here." So there was all that really strong feeling about the French down, doing their dirty business down here. And of course, that did initially force them to go underground. They stopped doing testing in the atmosphere, and they started testing underground. But even the testing underground, the protests continued because, again, it was very, very dangerous. And they, Mururoa Atoll, they're drilling right down deep below the atoll and then exploding these nuclear weapons and creating cracks all the way through the underground and this radioactivity leaking in. And then they refused to allow international scientists to go in and check the levels of radioactivity. They said, "Oh no, it's safe, but they wouldn't let anyone else check. So it was a time when New Zealand stood up, and I think New Zealand government action on that day, sending a frigate, was just something that that probably was the biggest factor in ending those nuclear tests so quickly.
Well, we had a Prime Minister who was a railway worker before becoming Prime Minister. He's a pretty down-home sort of guy, Norman Kirk. And I note, too, that he wanted to have a cabinet minister accompany or be aboard the Otago. Yeah. Interestingly, they all put their names in a hat, and out came Fraser Coleman, who ended up going out there as the Minister of Immigration and Mines.
Fraser Coleman, I remember that. I remember Fraser going. Again, that really ramped it up. It wasn't just a few odd Greenpeace hippies going. It was the core of New Zealand that was supporting that campaign then.
You know, it was a precursor to the Land March of 75, the Bastion Point Stand of 78. These were heady times. We just had our Vietnam War protests also. So, and you were 19. And then you too recognised social injustice, racial injustice, when you helped to put together Halt All Racist Tours. So we can't understate the influence that that stance politically by the then Labor government of 73 might have had on our willingness to challenge other aspects of society. For Māori too, it was quite an influence, I'd suggest. And subsequently, we've had, as we've seen, Takapalafo, and then what followed on with establishment of Kohanga Kura. They're all sort of interlinked, aren't they?
They are, yeah, they are, and we saw, you know, on the streets as it were in the 1970s and the 80s when those big campaigns were going on, you know, the anti-nuclear, as you say, anti-Vietnam, even later on the anti-GE, but you know, all of those campaigns were kind of, you know, many of the same people were involved, and I think I think it's right to say that the Norman Kirk government. I mean, he was only Prime Minister for 2 years, but he was the last working-class Prime Minister we've had in New Zealand, which is a really sad thing because, you know, the working class makes up the majority of the population, and yet they're very underrepresented in Parliament. So, yeah, he made... I remember, I mean, I was probably quite cynical as a young person in those days, thinking, oh, bloody politicians are all the same. But I do remember feeling very, very deeply... sort of moved when he died. It was one of those things that I wouldn't have expected to feel about a politician, but he certainly, I think he took the whole country with him in the way that he kind of asserted New Zealand was an independent country. We were making our own way in the world, you know. We were developing relations not just with Britain, which was our traditional place we tied our apron strings to, at least Pākehā New Zealanders did. But he was looking at the world more broadly, and all those movements that developed from there. Yeah, I think that, as you say, the Frigate Otago going out there was a real statement to the people of New Zealand, but a statement to the world about how we thought about what was going on in our part of the world.
Tēnā koe, John. As mentioned in our introduction, John's a very principled guy. He's been the National Chair of the Palestine Solidarity Network, Aotearoa, for some years now. And I know that there is an acclaimed writer and filmmaker called Anthony Lowenstein heading to our shores. And thank you for the invitation to talk with Anthony. I'd look forward to that opportunity in a few weeks' time. But you might just touch on him as we flag his arrival here. This has been a strong part of your mahi in recent years, brother. So tell us about the Palestine Laboratory. It's a new book out by Anthony.
Yes, well, Anthony's been to New Zealand before. In 2010, he had a book called My Israel Question. So he got into, his family got a huge amount of negative pressure from the Jewish community, or some elements of the Jewish community in Australia, because he came out and said, you know, Israel doesn't represent me. It's conducting appalling human rights abuses against Palestinians. And he made a stand with Palestinians against what the Israeli government was doing. And of course, the Israeli government says, we're doing it on behalf of Jews around the world to give ourselves a Jewish homeland. And he said, no, you're not doing it for me. So his book... My Israel Question was very influential, certainly in Australia and internationally. And now he's done another book called The Palestine Laboratory. And what he's detailed in this book, I mean, I haven't read the book myself yet, but I've read various reviews of it. What he's saying is that Israel has been conducting intense, it has a military occupation that occupies all of historic Palestine now, and it has the Palestinians under intense surveillance and at checkpoints, photo recognition technology. People can everywhere Palestinians move, they are subjected to heavy surveillance. And of course, there's a military occupation that is running across all of historic Palestine. And when Palestinians fight back against that illegal military occupation, they get called terrorists and they get subject to absolutely appalling behaviour by the Israeli Defence Force. So what he's saying is that the methods that Israel has perfected to control and suppress the Palestinian population, both in surveillance and in sort of military hardware, they have then exported that around over 100 countries in the world to some of the most vile repressive regimes around the world. And he's saying that, he's calling out Israel for doing this and saying that the international community has to take action on Israel to make it accountable for what it's doing to Palestinians, and also accountable for the fact that it's spreading this surveillance or this technology of oppression around the world to some of the worst dictators we've ever seen.
Well, I look forward to linking arms with him, having a cordial about some of the issues that he's raising. And again, want to acknowledge your solidarity with the Palestinian situation over the years, brother. Thanks, and thanks for touching in on Mujador and the Otago, the frigate Otago. I think that's important too. All the best to you and your whānau. We'll catch up with each other in a couple of weeks. Thanks very much for your time today, John.
Kia ora. Kia ora, Dale. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, it's been mine too. Thanks, mate.